We've got somebody on the line who's going to help send us in that direction. He has been all over the place as far as traveling and so on. Here's a cool thing. Our guest today had planned to work in the front office for the Los Angeles Dodgers after his military service, but during his Army stint, he actually developed a passion for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God. So from 1968 all the way until 1987, he served as a minister in the Way International, where he held a number of key leadership positions, including a five-year stint as the CEO at their college in Kansas. And then since then, he's been the point man in founding two other ministries, Christian Educational Service, which is now the Spirit and Truth Fellowship International, and as of January of last year in 2010, the Living Truth Fellowship. Listen to this. In the past 40 years, he has authored or co-authored about a dozen books, has taught the Word of God for countless hours in all 50 states and on six continents. Guess where he wants to go next? Antarctica. Wow. The penguins and polar bears need God too, apparently. Absolutely. We all do. Our special guest today, live from the great state of Indiana, Mr. John Lynn. John, welcome, and thanks for taking the time to be here today.
Well, thank you, Rob. That's a glowing introduction. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you know, God keeps throwing people my way. I don't know if you know the quick story, and anybody that's new to the show, I had worked in radio and TV for many years, just the way it happened. I had a wonderful high school teacher that had vision, and we actually raised $18,000, and about a year and a half started a 200-watt station, and so on and so forth. Got involved with TV after being out in Hollywood, and about the last 2 years, people had been telling me, you know, you need to get back on the radio. And I'm like, okay, what am I going to do, though? And they're like, well, you talk about God. You're one of the few people that will. And a guy walks up to me one day out of the blue and just says, hey, how you doing? My name's Mark. I own a radio station. I'm like, huh? I said, I just prayed about that 2 days ago. I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, I said, I need to do a talk show. He said, well, call me and let's talk about it. And here it is. And he keeps sending me amazing people like yourself that have these stories and of all different aspects, because I think you might agree, and you don't have to, but, you know, we all have been given different experiences, John, so that we can all have a different impact on various people's lives. And we all don't have to touch everybody, but if we can all just touch one, that can really make a huge difference in this world, can't it?
Absolutely. That's what Jesus Christ modeled for us. As often as not, he spoke to one or two or three people, as he did to thousands, in fact, more often than not. And so we go through life, and if those are people are Christians, they're born again of God's Spirit. Jesus Christ has equipped them with the same power of God that he utilized to carry out the ministry that God had given him. And so we're loaded, and we keep our eyes and ears open. And I appreciate you talking about the gentleman that came to you and you wanted to do a talk show, and because what our ministry is all about is words. And, of course, that's what makes up the Word of God. And that's the basis for what we're trying to do, is to share with people what does this book really say. We think a lot of what many people believe it says is not at all what it really says, and so we try to show people that if it's the Word of God, it can't contradict itself, and there is a way for the reader to derive the author's originally intended meaning for every verse. And of course, Jesus Christ is the subject of the Bible from Genesis 3:15 all the way through. And so if we want to know what God is like, we got to look to Jesus, because God is invisible according to the Bible. And if you're invisible, you definitely have an image problem. And so God recognized that, and he said, wow, I want a perfect image. And so it took him about 4,000 years to be able to send Jesus Christ. In the meantime, he was trying to dissuade people from carving and shipping and making all kinds of idol representatives of him, because he knew that none of them would come close to what he's really like. And so Jesus Christ is what it's all about. We're trying to know him love him and be like him, and I fail often at doing that, but I keep trying.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. And the day that I think you would agree, the day that you and or I become that perfect person, we've probably got some serious issues going on in our life there. But, John, I want to ask you, because tomorrow we're going to have a wonderful lady on, Michelle Brandt. Her husband Tommy was on last week, and he's won all kinds of awards with country music, Christian music, played with all these big stars, went from homeless to having millions of dollars given to him, and they decided to give it all away, ride in a tour bus that somebody bought them in an $85 car, and they play at places like RV parks, and they used to play at big stadiums, and you had a chance to do something that, especially as a guy here in America, baseball and apple pie, I mean, that's all American. You had a chance to work, or at least you planned to work, for the Los Angeles Dodgers, one of the most prestigious organizations in baseball, and you decided after your military service that, you know what, maybe I want to go in a different direction. How did you come up with that decision to say, you know what, I'm going to go from living the life of a real American dream to working for God?
Well, it came about really after I graduated from Kenyon College in 1965. Up until that time, I was a nice guy. I was a jock from birth. I played football, basketball, and baseball at Kenyon back in the day when you could do that. So I never got into any drugs or any kind of thing like that. I have no sordid past to relate. I've often kind of envied people who came out of something like that, because I thought, gosh, they can so easily appreciate the deliverance that Jesus Christ has brought to them. But I was just as much a sinner on the inside. And I had a connection with a wonderful gentleman who has passed away several years ago. He and my father were fraternity brothers, Buzzy Bavese, one of the great executives in baseball history. And he and my dad were good pals. And I went down to spring training with the Dodgers a couple years while I was pitching in college. And he suggested, why don't you go in the Army and get that over with and come work for me? I'll give you a job wherever I am. I'll teach you the business. And that's exactly what I was planning to do when I went into the Army for 3 years back in during Vietnam. But by the grace of God, I never went to Vietnam, and that was the same time that I began to really take a look at the Bible, because I never really had. I grew up in a Protestant church. It never gripped me. I never really heard anything that touched my heart and motivated me. But then I started looking at the Word, and God connected me with a lot of wonderful people, each of whom kind of was like a booster for me to send me along the way in the right direction. And then about 44 years ago, actually this very month and maybe even this week, a friend of mine from college that I played ball with said, why don't you meet me at Kenyon? We'll go to a basketball game. And I know you're a Christian now, so am I. I have some tapes I'd like you to hear. So meet me in the middle of Ohio at Kenyon, and we'll drive up to my house in Cleveland. Listen to the tapes. You're coming up for Christmas leave from Fort Bragg. I said, cool. We get to his house. He opens the box. It's 33 hours of some tapes. I said, wait a minute. He said, well, you didn't tell me that. He said, yeah, sorry. I said, okay, it's fine. I trust you. As soon as I get bored, I'm leaving. And we sat from 8 in the morning to midnight, 3 straight days. I don't think I could do that now. And I was locked in. I had never heard anything like this. I had been to many churches. I had spoken at churches. I had been on the dais with well-known Christian people at conferences and events and so forth. And I had never heard so much of what this man on this old reel-to-reel tape, some spinning man, I knew his name, that's all I knew, it didn't matter, because he was showing me the Word of God in a way that I couldn't deny. If I were going to be honest with myself and with the Lord, I couldn't say, that's not what it says, because it absolutely was what it said. And I sat there with my friend and the spinning man for 3 days, and I probably said at least 30 to 40 times, I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating, out loud, why have I never heard this before? And so then I had to decide, do I want to believe that? Because it would be going against the grain in some ways of what I had been taught for sure, and what most of the people around me believed in. But I felt like I had to honor what the opportunity that God had given me. And so I wrote to Buzzy and said, well, you know, I won't be coming, and thank you so much for the opportunity. I really feel I need to do something. And he was very encouraging to me, and we had several good times together after that before he died. I've never looked back. Jesus Christ has been extremely gracious to me. I have made plenty of mistakes, but I've tried to just get up when I have stumbled, and the main thing that has guided me is that the Word of God gives us the will of God, and that we can understand what it says. And that's what our ministry is about, is sharing the inherent keys in the Word. I don't bring to the Word my preconceived ideology or whatever. I am to come to the Word, and I approach it with the preconception that it is what it claims to be, because a lot of people call it the good book. I think it's the best book, because it's the only book ever authored by God. About 40 different people wrote it, but the cohesion that they have, even a little bit of study of the Bible, shows you a remarkable cohesion that 40 people writing in three languages during a 1500 or 1600 year period could not achieve. There's no way. That's one of the greatest arguments for why the Bible is what it claims to be, and it claims to be the God-breathed revelation of the Creator to mankind.
And the one thing that I got out of that, and you made a zillion great points in there, but how you got led to it is somebody offered you an opportunity, and I try to make a point to people, is that a lot of people nowadays try to either completely run away from God and just, you know, are basically embarrassed by the talk of that, which is amazing to me, but I understand their thought processes. I'm sure you have seen many occasions, but the point is that we are to be an attraction of God and live like as God would want us to live, and allow people like your friend for you to be open when things like that happen, because you never know when that seed's going to be planted. Look what your friend has done for you, which has led you in turn to do so much for so many. Do you agree or not that we are supposed to be that attraction of God and not the promoter of God?
Oh, absolutely. And the book of Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Once you're born again, you have the opportunity to manifest to the people around you genuine love, joy, peace, patience. I'm still working on patience. I'm working on all of them, but patience, I'm working on harder.
Aren't we all?
So all of those things, and that's supposed to make people hungry when they see fruit. Now, but here's the thing. Nobody can eat my fruit. I can show them love and kindness and all of that, but then when they come to me, I've got to have meat to give them. I've got to have nourishment for them, and that's where the Word of God comes in. As Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yeah, and reading, it's almost like they wrote the Bible in a way that we would have to go back and continuously read it, because I am not as well-versed as you in any means and would never proclaim to be, but I get up every morning now at 4 o'clock. I seem to wake up, and I read more and more, and I started again the other day back at Genesis right from the beginning, and you know, it's amazing because it almost seems like they wrote it purposely so that we wouldn't understand everything and we would continuously have to refer back to the Word of God for solutions in our life. Do you ever get that feeling at all?
Well, I used to, but what the word says is that God wants people to know him, because if we don't know God, we can't love him. Now, the devil sees that, and so he's trying to do everything he can to distort God. Well, the devil sees Jesus Christ as the image of God, 2 Corinthians 4, and so he's after Jesus Christ, because God's invisible. He doesn't have to blind anyone to God, because God is already invisible. But the message of Scripture, and contrary to a fallacy being taught too much in Christianity today, that God is mysterious, well, that's not what the Word says. He wants us to know him as a Father. And I think after the break I can elaborate a little bit on the key that I would mention here. To me, the biggest key to understanding the Bible is knowing which parts are written to whom. There are three kinds of people identified in 1 Corinthians 10:32: Jews, that is the people of Israel, non-Jews, they're called Gentiles or Greeks, and then Christians. And past, present, future, to whom is what part of the Bible written? Because too many Christians are trying to read other people's, well, they're reading other people's mail. They don't seem to recognize that. And that's what we're about to release in 2, 3, 4 weeks, sometime next month, a 6-hour video called The End Times. And the subtitle is Good News, We Win. And it's an overview of all of Scripture from Paradise Lost to Paradise Regained, followed by an exposition of both of the Thessalonians epistles, every verse from beginning to end. And that will open up for folks what parts of the Bible are written to Christians today. Because if we're trying to go by what was written to Israel in the Old Testament or Israel in the future, it's not going to work for us.
And John, first of all, I want to welcome you back, and let's just give folks a little brief history of what the Living Truth Fellowship is, and then I want to hit on what you just touched on, which was the three kinds of people the Bible is written for, because that's a really interesting subject. So if you can start with number one, I know I get kind of excited here. What is the Living Truth Fellowship, and what are you guys about?
Well, we are a church in our 501c3 designation, but it's kind of a worldwide church. We have a number of affiliated local fellowships on our website. It gives you names and email addresses of people around the country and in a couple of other countries. And we're a very young ministry. We are not even 2 years old, and we're really thrilled with how God has been working with us to start from scratch for the most part. And our goal is, you can go on our website, TLTF, stands for the Living Truth Fellowship, TLTF.org, and you will find a treasure trove of Bible teachings, video, audio. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/justtruthit, all one word, just truth it. And we have probably 150 videos on there, many written articles. We have ebooks that we have published, some significant works that are also available. And we're kind of picking our way here. We know that we have something wonderful to offer people, a teaching of the Word of God that is it's entertaining, but more importantly, it's applicable and practical, and it makes sense. In my opinion, there's way too much being taught in Christianity today that makes no sense, and I have to change the meanings of words for some of those things to even be conceivable. And you can't do that, because God is the author of language, and he uses words flawlessly, and in his word he defines the words therein by their usage in the Bible. And so it's not up to us to come along and try to change them. So we are a fledgling ministry. We have 5 trustees and 33 elders, starting off for 2012. And there are many people in the world who once upon a time or still are making rather dire predictions about the coming year of 2012. But we, on the other hand, are totally pumped up because we are releasing our six-hour video class sometime in January, hopefully the first part of January, and then sometime down the road, we're hoping within 6 months, but we'll be putting that word out. We have a wonderful 24-hour video. It's called One Day with the Creator, and we believe there is a need among people for a systematic, comprehensive but not exhausting course of study that will take an atheist, a Buddhist, a Baptist, a pedestrian from, I'd like to say, nuts to soup, rather than the other way around. But because it's great to do short teachings and this and that, and people can benefit from it. But for someone who maybe has never opened the Bible, or for those who have, as yourself, you know, started in Genesis, and it's pretty cool. Most of the book of Genesis, and then Exodus, Leviticus is going to get a little dry, maybe, and a little, you might get bogged down there. And so we want to help people to, excuse me, open the Bible for themselves and confidently let God and Christ minister to them through the Word. And so that takes us to the point that I made that you asked me to elaborate on here, and that is, what parts of the Bible are written to whom? Because I have to walk out to my little mailbox here and get my mail, and if I were to mindlessly go next door instead and get my neighbor's mail, and then I open it up and it says, oh my gosh, Aunt Millie has left you $40,000. All you have to do is be in Seattle on Friday and pick it up. Well, I show up in Seattle. She just looks at me. You know, the people there say, hey, who are you? And that's what happens when we read other people's mail and try to act on it. So God identifies three groups of people. 1 Corinthians 10:32, Paul says, give no offense to the Jews. That means the people of Israel, as the Bible talks about God's chosen people called out of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his 12 sons, and so forth. And that bloodline is, some people say they can document it, no problem. Then there were non-Jews in the Old Testament, Gentiles, they're generally called, sometimes Greeks. And of course, they were the first people, because Adam was not a Christian, nor was he a Jew, because there were no Jews till Jacob had 12 sons in late Genesis and so forth. So the first people around were just regular folks called Gentiles. Ethnos means the nations. And then when Jacob was called as Israel and his descendants, now we had two kinds of people. And so the entire Old Testament is to and about only those two kinds of people. Now, many people will go all around in the Old Testament and say how it pertains to us today. It does if it's talking about practical principles like don't steal or love your neighbor or things like that. But there were no Christians. And so one of the most important things, there were no Christians till the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So one of the most important things, and this is what rocked my world 44 years ago when I listened to that spinning man, and he showed me, wait a minute, what about the four Gospels? What about the words of Jesus? Well, hey, they were the words of Jesus. They were right straight from the heart of God through the mouth of Christ. But to whom was he speaking? He was never speaking to Christians because there were no Christians. He was talking to Jews because that's primarily to whom he came, as he said, I am come to the nation of Israel. And he continually referred to Old Testament prophecy from Genesis to Malachi to try to make the point to those folks, hello, I'm the guy. I'm the Messiah. Hello. Now, he didn't have a big I'm the Messiah sweatshirt. It was a little more veiled message, but those with eyes to see and ears to hear got the point. And so Israel, as a nation, sad to say, instead of embracing the promised Messiah, killed him. And so God's program to Israel was from that point on held in abeyance. Now, there are many people in the Christian church who believe that that was the end of Israel and that the church has completely assimilated all the promises to Israel. But when you understand what parts of the Bible are written to Jews, past, present, future, Gentiles, past, present, future, and then Christians, present and future, then we understand that we are living in what Paul called the administration of the secret. From Pentecost to the, many people call it the rapture, the word gathering together is a fine word. In other words, there will come a moment, as recorded in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18, when every Christian in the world will instantly vanish. And that will leave the same two groups of people who were from Genesis to Malachi, Jews and Gentiles. And so what we want to focus on in our ministry and help people to focus on, because you're talking about being salt and light and giving people in the world opportunities to know Christ, we have to be living according to the scripture addressed to us, and that is primarily Paul's epistles, because Paul's epistles are written to people who can be born again, and people who are born again. No one was born again during the Old Testament or the four Gospels. And we have all, if I touch on something, and I know many listeners are like I was 44 years ago, what? Well, those are good questions, and every good question deserves a good answer. And so on our website, you can find information that elaborates on virtually everything I'm saying here. And I know that's kind of news, that many people think in John 3 that Jesus was talking to Nicodemus about being born again, like we can be born again today. Well, there's no way, because Nicodemus could not be born again until after Jesus died and rose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of God and first poured out Holy Spirit, which he did on the day of Pentecost. Because Romans 10:9, if you're listening to this show and you're not a Christian, you're not sure you're a Christian, it's very simple. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, cha-ching, you are born of incorruptible seed, according to 1 Peter 1:23. And then, now, there are millions of people, I believe, who are born again that don't know it, because no one has ever told them the simplicity of that. Then it's a matter of growing up, going from the milk of the Word to the bread of the Word to the meat of the Word, so to speak. And that's what our ministry is trying to do, is to help people. I mean, we're trying to do it ourselves, to grow up in Christ and help other people chow down on the meat of the Word that is written to Christians today.
And one of the things that I got out of that is the simplicity of it, which we kind of need to keep it, especially if we're just learning to walk in Christ and maybe somebody has not picked up the Bible at all and just starting to read it and so on, is what you're trying to do, it seems, is you don't want to overwhelm them. It's like getting a steak, and you've got to cut it up, and you've got to eat it piece by piece and chew on each one and get the taste of each one before you move on to the next, correct?
Absolutely. If I walked into a calculus class at Butler University, a few minutes away from me, I would walk in there and I would say, that's insane. I would look at the blackboard and I would say, that makes no sense. Now, I would be right and I would be wrong. It makes no sense to me, but it does make sense to someone who has been given the prerequisite foundation of algebra, geometry, trigonometry, solid geometry, whatever, excuse me, leads up to calculus. And so we can't just drop people into a calculus class because they're going to be discouraged and give up on mathematics entirely and miss out on the whole benefit of that particular discipline. So that's what we're trying to do, and that's why our 24-hour class, we're asking people, hey, just spend one day with the Creator, because the Bible says that it is the very heart of God revealed to mankind. And when the pages of Scripture, we can get the heart of God as manifest by Jesus Christ and know Him and love Him and have an assurance of what the heck is going on.
Well, and the purpose of our show, and you were talking about this, it's called In Your Face for a couple of reasons, because Jesus walked around challenging people. He expects us, as forgiving and loving as He was, He expects us all to step up to the plate and become our best. And in order to become our best, we should at least take the time, at least this is just my opinion here, which could not matter to a lot, that's okay. But like you said, I just want to get people talking. If they're talking bad, it's okay. If they're talking good thoughts, it's okay. But if they're talking, eventually they're going to take some kind of action. And if they're talking about the Bible and they've never read it, or they are not knowing whether they like God or they're angry at God, if they keep talking about Him long enough, like your friend did for you and put those tapes in front of you, eventually there's a point where they might say, you know what? There just might be a better way. Do you find that to be true or not?
Well, I think it's great when people are talking, but if they're not saying what God says, I mean, then it's kind of pointless, because countless people on the earth make up stuff about God day after day after day, and I often gently, depending on my relationship with the person or whatever, I might say in response to some statement about God, Jesus, hell, the devil, Holy Spirit, some biblical topic, I'll probably say, well, who says? Who's your authority? And this is what the devil has leveled his greatest guns at from Genesis 3, when the first words out of his mouth to a human being were, did God say? He attacked the Word of God in his initial confrontation with humanity, and he has never stopped trying to distort, obscure, or destroy the Word of God off the planet. But when we come to it and let it speak for itself, we can understand the heart of God. And then, you're certainly right, we will be challenging people, because we'll have to tell them, well, I'm sorry, but that's not exactly what God says in the Bible. And then if they're not willing to take a few minutes to listen, well, bless them. But we're looking for people who hunger and thirst after the truth.
And John, you are also an amazing author. You've done about a dozen books where you've either written them or co-authored them. At this time, as we round down 2000, getting into 2012, is there one book in particular that people could go online perhaps and grab that may really help them see some light, as if they're not thinking that, you know, my life is not really where I want it to be right now?
Well, we have e-published a book called Don't Blame God, and I had the privilege of authoring that with two other gentlemen many years ago, and it has touched thousands of people's lives all over the world, because, as I said before the last break, when the devil came to Eve in Genesis 3, he said, did God say? So he's attacking the Word, but in what he said, in essence, was, yo, ma'am, God is withholding from you the one thing you need for fulfillment. How come he won't let you eat of that tree? She should have said, get lost, you moron. Obviously, he's got a reason. Look at all the good trees we got. So we see in that the devil's goal is to impugn the goodness of God. And once again, Jesus Christ crystallizes the invisible God. Because there are verses in the Old Testament that could be read if they weren't understood properly, and God looks kind of mean or unfair or whatever. But obviously, if he's the same God throughout the Bible, then he is who he claims to be, and that is a loving, gracious, forgiving Father. And so he sent Jesus to make known his true heart. And Jesus Christ did nothing but help people, love people, heal people. He never killed anyone. Well, some of the Pharisees said, that guy's killing me. But that they didn't mean literally. So our book, Don't Blame God, it's very inexpensive on the ebook. It's only about 200 pages, and it has delivered countless people, because the Bible says without faith it's impossible to please God. This is Hebrews 11:6, because he who comes to God must believe that God is. But that's not the end of the verse. It doesn't do any good to just believe that God is if we don't take advantage of the many promises he has to offer. And so the verse concludes, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, we're trying to make it as easy as possible for people to diligently seek him, but you do have to expend a little bit of time. I mean, what else is there to do as far as the eternal realities of life? Knowing God and knowing Christ and serving them, that's the only thing that's going to count when Jesus Christ shows up. And eventually we each stand before him to be rewarded as Christians for what we have done since we got born again. So I would highly recommend the Don't Blame God book. It explains the Old Testament language when one could think that God was even destroying his own people Israel because of how it's worded, but there's a reason for that figurative language. And the bottom line, once again, is the Bible cannot contradict itself. And so when we have apparent contradictions, we don't just take one or the other and go our merry way. We are going to have to expend a little bit of time and effort. And again, we are trying to set forth the word for people on a silver platter. Not that they will just mindlessly swallow it. Don't ever do that with anybody. If it doesn't make sense to you, speak up, ask questions. Take a look at how whatever group you're looking into deals with rational dissent. Because if they squelch it, I would be on the move to another group, because that's not genuine Christianity. So I wanted to mention again our website, tltf.org, and our youtube.com/justtruthit. And then we wanted to extend the listeners of this show a 20% off. We have an online store with lots of really cool stuff, and it is on the website, or it's store.tltf.org. And if you type in the coupon code in your face, you'll get a 20% discount for the next month. And we have I would recommend Don't Blame God and then the End Times video class. And if it makes no sense, throw it away, forget it. But if it makes sense, then continue to dig in and see what else we have that might touch your heart.
Wow, that's amazing. And all the books and all the work. And again, I heard somebody share a while back, and this made a lot of sense, especially with people who may be having a little bit of challenging with their faith, in the fact that if God said it, and it's written, as you say, and if it's not true, then that means he's a liar. So is God a liar? And I don't think that he is. Is that what you have you found? Do you understand what I'm getting at there?
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the problems is the misconception about faith. Most people think faith is superstition. Faith means believing in something that's not believable. That is not at all the biblical definition of faith. The word faith means trust, and trust requires a rational, coherent promise. And once I say, you know, meet me at the drugstore, I'll buy you an ice cream cone. Okay, you got it. Now, you don't have to go. You could say you're going to go and not go. You could burn the drugstore. You could do a lot of things. But if you trust my words and you go there, then it's all up to me. See, faith is, that's the least thing that God could require of mankind. Because it's not that much of a deal for you to go to the drugstore. That doesn't get you the ice cream just going there. You meet the condition that I, the promiser, set for you. Then when I show up, give you the ice cream, you say, thank you. Because you didn't get the ice cream other than by cooperating with the one giving it out. And that's exactly what faith is. And so all over Christianity, people teach these nonsensical things. People come and say, wait a minute, dude, that makes no sense. And they say, take it on faith. And I say, yo, you better check what the Bible says faith is, because faith is not ever asking you to believe something that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's about trusting in it, and it's about knowledge too, right? Until we learn what the word really is, it's tough to act on anything. But even once we do learn and take the time to learn it, without taking any action, the knowledge really doesn't do you a whole lot, does it?
That's right. That's right. First, God wants us to know, and then he wants us to act. Otherwise, if we just know and we don't, then it's just mental assent. So true faith is put into practice and lived out in a way that's palatable for other people around you.
John, we've got about a minute and a half or so left here. We're coming to the end of the year. Is there something that you could pray us out with and well wish us is something in the Word of God as we go into the Christmas season and start our new year off?
Well, I think that the advent of Jesus Christ is if it's about anything, it's about hope. That there is hope for mankind, and each individual listener out there can make Jesus Christ his Lord and be guaranteed of everlasting life, and then have some power and some tools to walk through this crazy world. 2012 is probably not going to get any easier than 2011, and God is such a loving Father, and Jesus is such a loving Lord. He gave his life for us, so we know he likes us, and he is right there wanting us to know him, and that's why we have the written Word of God. And that was Jesus' motto. He kept saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. And that should be our bottom line, too. What does the Word of God say?
Absolutely. Well, we've learned a lot about what it says, about what it means, about the various parts and who they're written to. John, it's been extremely enlightening. Quickly, if you could, give us your website again where folks can get your book if they'd like to go online and get that.
That's TLTF, the Living Truth Fellowship, TLTF.org, or YouTube.com/JustTruthIt. And then store.tltf.org will take you right to the store. You can go to the website and click on the store also. So thank you so much, Rob. It's been a wonderful experience. I'm so glad that you asked me to share some of these things with the folks. And God bless you and your show and all that you're doing.
Well, God bless you, John Lynn. Thank you very much for taking the time to be here. Go online, tltf.org. You can learn all about John, the Living Truth Fellowship. You can get some great deals on there that may be some materials to help you have an amazing 2012. My name is Rob Ecknell. Thank you so much. Michelle Brandt down in Florida is going to be our special guest tomorrow, the Encourager of the Year 2010. Don't miss it. Have a fabulous day. God bless to you and yours.